red dress like mine.
Red it is.
Where's Missy?
Missy!
Where's Missy? Sorry, Mac. They haven't seen her.
Missy! Missy!
I'm scared. I didn't know what to do.
Possible suspect sighting. Ground team's found the truck in the mountains.
I'm really sorry, Mr. Phillips.
You want some help over there?
I'm okay.
Well, some dinner tonight.
Maybe next time.
In the snow.
You're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something.
You know, this isn't a good idea.
It's crazy, but this is all I got.
Got a fire going inside if you want to warm up.
And people thought Logan was the only thing they had to see this weekend. No. I'm here to tell you the complete opposite. See, you people out there, you're sleeping right now. You're taking... You're snapping, you're sleeping, you're snapping, you're snoring, you're drooling, you're doing all the things you do when you sleep, whatever, you're shaking. You like that dude from those angry gangster calls and stuff like that. You want to talk some shit, you know? You're restless, you can't even sleep because you think that Logan was the only thing you needed to see this weekend. I'm here to tell you differently. I went on my own dime and I saw this movie called The Shack. All you critics out there and you movie reviewers out there, you're all fake to me. You're fake critics. You got fake news, now you got fake critics, whatever. Because I was alone in this. I don't see too many reviews on this now. I find this to be bullshit. There's no screeners on this. You had to go on your own dime, critics. And critics just refuse to do that. They don't want to see this film. Well, I'm here to tell you, as a professional, I saw this film. Did I enjoy it? We'll get into that. The Shack. It's a religious film based off the best New York Times seller, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of pushback on the book, though, because a lot of people, the writer of the book was Paul Young, and he's gotten a lot of hatred for that book, from what I remember, at least when I saw an interview with him not too long back, and he was telling them how, you know, he kind of made a joke about it. He's like, y'all do realize this is fiction, right? You know, but most of the religious people got pissed off at him, saying, this didn't happen in your real life. This, you're trying to say God there, and he's kind of, was the way he explained it, was just saying, you know, he used this story to kind of explain what God means to him to tell to his kids and stuff like that. Well, apparently a lot of ignorant ass Christians took that didn't hear that part of the story and just took that, how dare he make a fictional story about our Lord and Savior, what's that boy's name? Jesus and stuff like that. And you know how pissy those people are or whatever. That's why I don't know why people shit on Scientology so much. Every religion is damn near the same if you ask me. I mean, I'm kind of in the Bill Maher sense where I'm like, religion is just dangerous and fucking crazy if you ask me when I go through it. But, which actually there's a... People think I'm going to shit in this movie. There's actually a really great line in this film that they don't go nowhere with it, but I just thought it was a really clever line of how it was done. But let me go ahead and give a plot synopsis. So you got Sam Worthington. He plays Mac Phillips in this film, and he sucks ass. I mean, he's a guy. And you're like, damn, you already started. Here we go. And Sam Worthington is in this film, and he's married to Rada Mitchell, plays Nan Phillips in here. He's got three kids. Megan, Gage, and actually, I'm saying their real fucking name. Kate, Josh, and Missy. Kate is his, could be the oldest child, if I'm not mistaken. Kate Phillips, Josh Phillips is the son, and then you got Missy Phillips, who's about a 7, 8-year-old, probably 6, 7 years old. She's a 6 or 7 year old girl, and they decide to go to, I guess, a camping vacation, if you will. The mother stayed by, Nan Phillips, I don't think she went. No, I don't know. I didn't see her in the woods anywhere, but I can't remember if she went or not. Who gives a shit? Doesn't matter anyway. So, oh, and Tim McGraw's in here, too. He's the neighbor. He plays Willie. He sucks. Anyway, and so they go on a trip here, a little fishing, camping trip, you know, to hang out. What do white people do? They hang out. You know what? I just want to say this. As a black man, half-breed man, whatever you want to call it, I've dwelled into a lot of cultures over my lifespan. You know, especially being, you know, on with an Asian side of the family and stuff like that. and traveled to places, many of countries, if I can say so myself. I have to tell you this as a friend, white people. I'm telling you this as a friend, you know, as a friend. I'm not getting on your case or anything. I'm not mad at you or anything like that. But I just gotta know, why do you keep going to the fucking woods? There's nothing out there for you. And as a black man who does not go to the woods, and I can tell you this right now, this is why Negroes don't find shit, because we don't go looking for shit. But I can tell you, as a man that doesn't go to the woods, look how perfectly fine I am. But you white people, I want to tell you this right now. And don't take this as a bad thing by me saying you white people or anything like that. I mean this with nothing but the greatest heart of hearts. When I say, white people, the woods don't like you. Don't go there no more. Bad shit always happens to you white people when you go to the woods. Stop going there. I remember back in the day as a kid growing up in Compton, I got robbed by my old middle school. And granted, I didn't have shit on me, so he didn't really want to take anything, but he held me at gunpoint, whatever. So, and I can tell you this right now, I have never fucking walked back in that area ever again, okay? And that happened when I was in fucking elementary school, okay? I was a 10th grader. And I ain't never walked back over there, okay? So I'm just letting you know, you can learn from this. Learn from mistakes. You see these movies where white people just get snatched up and you always find a little white girl in the milk carton or something like that? Stop going to them. They don't want you. They're not your friend. I'm glad I could carry on this PSA with you. Now, please, continue to listen. I just lost all of our white listeners right now. Anyway, though, so carry on with this story. So, you know, Sam Worthington, he plays a father, like I just said. And his daughter, Kate, and Josh, you know, they're kayaking. They're just like, you know, just floating around, you know, just swinging. And they're getting ready to leave, supposedly. Missy's sitting there drawing a princess because he tells this cheap-ass story about some princess who, I don't know. I'm not going to lie, I didn't pay attention. I walked in this movie just a little bit late, just a little bit. It opens up with, like, I'm assuming that was Sam Worthington as a kid getting beat by his father, and the father was yelling, you better forgive the Lord. And it's raining hard, and I was just like, oh, Lord, we're in for a treat here, you know. So I'm assuming that, because that's the only time it happens in this movie, too, so I'm assuming it's like, okay, he has daddy issues, so he's just trying to be the perfect father. He's trying to be the perfect man, you know. And in this scene, we see Kate, she's jumping up. She's like, Daddy, look, I'm jumping on the boat. And Josh is like, sit down, bitch. Stop fucking jumping. Stop it. That boat, that kayak flips over. I guess it knocked him unconscious or whatever when it flipped over, because she's still swimming. She's like, Josh is not coming up. And I guess his life vest got caught in the boat as well, which I don't know how the fuck that happens anyway. There's only like two fucking seats in the damn boat, and they're made out of wood. How the fuck does your life vest, whatever. Anyway, Sam Worthington says, fuck that. And Mac, he's like, I gotta jump in there, and I gotta be a hero. I love it. All these people, because it wasn't just them. This is like a resort right here for camping and something like that. There's a bunch of fucking family members out here and stuff. But yet, he's the only one, I guess, to jump in to go save him, because I was like, everybody else is like, oh my God, little white boy's drowning in the woods right there. Oh my God, he's drowning in the river. Someone go save him. Where's his father at? Go save him. Go do what you do best. He ends up saving him, and I like, in all of this chaos, Missy comes up missing. She gone. There's everybody looking around. I love it too, because everybody, I'm like, wait a minute, how the hell did this little girl go missing in this big ass crowd of people? And it gets even more ridiculous with that sentiment right there too. So he goes running next to him, the cops show up, or the park rangers or whatever, and they realize that she's missing, and that there's a guy that could be in the nearby area who's been on the run, and he's apparently been snatching up little girls and fondling them, if you catch my drift. Basically, he's raping them. He's raping and killing them. So I just found it funny that when they say, we got a track on his trail, there's a big-ass shack in the woods, middle of the woods, not too far where this campsite is. I just find it a little weird that, wait a minute, hold on. No, nobody saw this shit? Okay. Nobody saw this shit. Nobody saw him take, so okay, whatever. Sam Worthington, he gets there, and he sees that the cop just looks, and she goes, oh, shit, yeah. And you just look down, and you just see the little red dress she was wearing, and it's covered in blood, and you see the blood stains on the hardwood in the cabin and stuff, and then the camera just zooms out, and you just hear this loud, no! Where's Padme? No! one of those moments there. And it kind of does this thing where it's in flashback sequences. This is all a flashback, and we fast forward to present day time where Mac Phillips is trying to get the snow out of the driveway. He runs out of gas, goes to his neighbor, Tim McGraw, Willie, get some gas for that thing. Next thing you know it, he goes back to his place. He sees his mailbox open. There's an envelope in there. Doesn't say from who, but it just says, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. I missed you." That's kind of fucking weird. I don't know why you would write something like that. Just, you might as well just put, "God's not dead. He's surely alive. Come see me," or whatever. "Come meet me at the shack," whatever it says. So Sam Worthington decides, he's like, "I'm going to take a trip back up to the shack here, go visit this, see, maybe it's a clue leading to what happened to my daughter," because we can't, they haven't even found the body. And he's kind of pissed off by that. He's like, "Look, if she's dead, at least, whatever, you know, you could have left us the fucking body so we could give her a proper burial or something like that." But no, didn't even have that. So he's hoping he can find her, maybe a clue or something like that, or even get revenge, to be honest, too, if he runs into this guy. He ends up going to the shack. He almost gets into a car accident, too. His car accident is pretty promising in the movie here. Well, he tends to avoid it, and he keeps on driving, makes it to the woods, find out there's nothing there in the shack. And then all of a sudden, as he's leaving, this is Sam Worthington at his best. And, you know, he's looking around. He's almost like he went to the Keanu Reeves School of Acting for a little bit, because he just started staring into blank space and whatever. And it was at that moment right there, I exactly knew how Jimmy Kimmel felt. As I tweeted, I knew exactly how Jimmy Kimmel felt when watching Matt Damon's performance in We Bought a Zoo. And I said, "Wow, just look at him there. It's like when he stares into space, it's like he's staring into your soul or something like that, you know? It's like, I think I found my guy now, you know? It's like Jimmy Kimmel when he sees Matt Damon's performing. I think I found my guy. It's Sam Worthington. I'm watching him, and I just go like, man, you know, I started with this guy, movie spoilers. When movie spoilers first started, you know, we finally got the name. Well, we had the name. One of the very first movies I remember doing was that Wrath of the Titans or Cloud? I don't remember fucking that. I remember looking at that poster. I remember I went to the, when I went to go see this in the theaters, and I saw that poster with Sam Worthington on the cover of that poster riding whatever the fuck that thing was. And I just looked at him, and I just said, "I've never seen a man so bored in a poster in my life," right there, as he just stares off into space. It's like he's like looking into the cosmos or something, reaching for, oh wait, I think I just stole some speech that a certain actress may have gave in Collateral Beauty, because this is Collateral Beauty 2.0, just to point that out there right there. He ends up following this guy, and this guy he sees is, well, his name is Jesus, and he's played by Avram Aviv Lush. Good-looking dude, I gotta say, too. I looked at him and was just like, wow, they actually are starting to stop putting a white Jesus in these films. This is probably like the third religious film I might have saw where they actually got a Middle Eastern dude. A black guy, as everybody keeps fucking claiming they want to see in these fucking, "Why isn't Idris Elba Jesus on?" Because Jesus wasn't fucking black, you dumb motherfucker. Anyway, but they're getting Middle Eastern people in there. I wonder how the hillbillies and rednecks feel about that right about now with their whole, "Oh, I hate the Middle East and Muslims and all that good stuff," whatever. Yeah. Granted, this dude is he's an Israeli actor of, I believe, of Tunisian heritage, if I'm not mistaken. I looked it up when I was watching the movie because I just did not know what this dude was. And I was like, I got to look this up. He better not be one of these pretty-ass white dudes or something like that. But surely enough, they had diversity in this film, because the only white guy in the midst of Jesus was Sam Worthington. And you don't get no whiter than that, especially with his fucking accent kicking in multiple times here. So he plays Jesus. He takes him to this house. He's like, "Hey, let me take you to this house. We got a fire in there." He falls him into there. And he notices as soon as this guy leads him in there, where it was snowing on the other side, it's all green and the sun is out and flowers are blooming and stuff like that. It's beautiful. And it's like, he follows me. He's like freaking out. He's like, "What the fuck is going on here?" He gets in the house and he meets Octavia Spencer, who plays Papa. And she hugs him. He's like, "It's been so long." He's like, "Do I know you?" And she's like, "Well, not really, but your wife, Nan, you know, she loved me to death," to be honest. And he kind of figures out, wait, hold on, what's going on here? You telling me y'all Jesus right now? She's like, "No, actually, I'm more of God. He's Jesus." And then they have an Asian girl in here, too, Sarayu. I wouldn't pronounce that name right. Samire. Samire, there we go, Samire. And she It's played by a hot-ass Asian girl who's the Samira Matsubara. Judging from that last name, she is Japanese, so... And she is gorgeous, too. Oh, my Lord. She looked like she... looking it up right now. Yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah, she definitely... She went to school in Hawaii, so yeah. Most Japanese descents tend to go to Hawaii and kick it there, i.e. my sister. So, here we are with these three people who are supposedly split up as into Jesus, God, and I don't know who the fuck she was. She barely was on screen for the most of the time, I guess, if you will, at one segment with them. And basically, that's the plot of this movie. It's more on the plot of this movie, too. It goes into them trying to understand where Sam Worthington is coming from and how much his family needs him and how he needs to let go and forgive the guy who murdered his daughter or took his daughter for that sake. He doesn't even know where she's at, took his daughter, and it's kind of trying to teach him how to get back into faith and putting his faith in God and stuff like that, and all that good stuff. That's the plot synopsis. Okay, so if I got to get positive out here, which, mind you, there's not really much to go by. I hate to tell y'all this, because I know you're probably shocked by this, but this movie was shit, okay? I did one of my famous, what I normally do when I have to go pay to see these movies, because... Surprisingly enough, you know, screeners, they take your phone sometimes. Now, they don't take my fucking phone. I just put it in my shoe or something like that. Because they don't want nobody leaking out information or anything like that. And plus, they don't go down for those that pulling phone shit out. So, in here, when I usually go pay for these movies and watch them, and I know they're going to be bad, The Darkness, I tend to tweet moments that happen that are fucking terrible. And there's a lot of scenes in here that are just fucking terrible. But if I had to point out some good, Octavia Spencer, this woman is a world-class actress, and she's amazing. And I think the work that she does is just profound and stunning at times and stuff like that. I met this woman, and I think she is really just a true testament to what an Hollywood actress should be and what they should do with their fame and their money and all the stuff that she does. She really does care about kids and charity events and stuff like that, and my own social issues that goes on stuff. She really is a loving woman, and you definitely could see it in this film. And her playing God, well, let's just say she is basically the mystical, magical nigga of this film. I'm sorry, I meant Negro of this film. She spends most of her time in the kitchen cooking. Matter of fact, she spends all her time. Speaking of my Asian sister, she just texted me. She spends all of her time in the fucking kitchen cooking. Now, people are probably saying, what's the problem with that? Now, number two, she speaks in fucking riddles most of the time about God and how you need to let her back in her heart and all that good jazz and vibes and good stuff like that. But, you know, the problem with that is what she does is she might as well be called Aunt Jemima. Because that's mainly what the fuck she is in this. She's the mystical, magical Negro who spends her time in the kitchen cooking, giving riddles for advice. You remember that movie Mr. Church with Eddie Murphy? Same goddamn role. You just could have told Eddie, hey, are you busy right now? Can you come on set right now? You know, he would have been like, oh yeah, definitely I would have come for this shit. Octavia Spencer, though, when she's meant to emote and do things that Sam Worthington is just unable to do, she is really good at it. She is damn good at it, if I must say so myself. There is a scene in here where she and Sam Worthington, and I would even say if this whole segment right here was probably good, had it been a better actor than Sam Worthington. Sam Worthington just can't deliver shit, if by all God means stuff. But she sells the fuck out of this scene. She's acting her ass off. And I got a clip of it right here. And this ain't all of it, but the longer it got on, I was thinking, like, you know, this is really good. And I actually wanted to cry for Octavia Spencer as to why was she wasting this talent in this film right here.
Who do you think I am?
He said it himself. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
You can't understand a word that Negro just said right about now. That motherfucker can't hold that accent back to save his fucking life. And that's a shame, too, because most Australians, British people, anybody with a deep Cockney accent or anything like that, hell, look at Christian Bale. They can hold that accent back. But when it comes to Sam Worthington, he's like, I'm going to let my eyes do the acting. I'm going to bulge them out of my head and stare at you like I'm looking past, way past you or anything like that. And I'm just going, you're going to feel the words talking. That's what he does. Look at her. She's crying out. Them tears are walking out. She's shaking her head. She's like, uh-oh, time to... She's like, I got to pull up my Academy Award. I got to earn that paycheck today, baby.
You misunderstand the mystery.
That religion is evil? Yeah, that's a mystery. So they show... What she does is she grabs his hand, and she puts her hand on his hand. You see this little hole mark right here. Now... What that came across to me was obviously when Jesus was hung by the cross and stuff like that. Basically, what she's saying here is she feels the pain of what Jesus felt. Now, I'm assuming Jesus is probably saying, you can take that pain shit and shove it up your ass. You wasn't the one hung up on that cross, okay? So, you can say you felt my pain, but you didn't get beat like I did, okay? So,
don't ever think that what my son chose to do didn't cost us both dearly. Love always leaves a mark. We were there together. I never left him. I never left you. I never left his.
God damn, this woman is a class act. Look, I felt the emotion. I was like, oh, man, even you got to see this look on Sam Worthington's face, too, people. Look this clip up. It's called the Shaq movie clip / Together. And you pause it at the 50-second mark after she says, I never left my son, I never left you, and I never left Missy. She's crying or whatever. So, and they put the camera back on this dumbass's face right here. And he's like, looking, he's like, huh, never thought of it that way. This dude, man, I'm sorry, man, but Sam Worthington is fucking awful. I mean, he's miles ahead of Jai Courtney. I'll give him that, but that really ain't saying much. You know, it's like Jai Courtney and him. They might be related for all I know, because they're not that far apart when it comes from the acting abilities here. But you got to look at this face that Sam Worthington is giving right here. And that was at that moment. I remember when I saw this scene right here and I saw the look on his face, I sat there and was just like, I crossed my legs over and just said, huh. It's like, you know, when Sam Worthington gives that look, it's like telling me that everything ain't gonna be all right. You know, I felt like I was Jimmy Kimmel watching a movie by myself in a theater, just sitting there going like, now I know what this feels like. Ah, okay. As I analyze this. But Octavia Spencer, she's really damn good. If I have to give credit to anything. Another piece of credit I want to give to in this film, it's probably the only bit of credit. Actually, you know, the three people that played Jesus, God, and the Asian chick. Look, for the little time she was on screen, she was fine. The guy that played Jesus, he was fine. I don't know what else he's been in, to be honest. I really haven't seen anything. And Octavia Spencer, we expect her to be fine. Come on now. This woman is, like I said, a world-class actress and stuff like that. Yeah, it seems like what this guy's been, he's been in a lot of Israeli TV shows and stuff. And so I don't really know who he is, but... he was actually fine. I didn't think he was dog shit, to be honest. It's more of the white people in here that were dog shit. Okay. They were pretty fucking awful. It's funny because the mother in here, Rada Mitchell, plays Nan Miff Phillips in here. She, who's another Australian actress, is fucking terrible. If anybody remembers her, I believe she was in the Silent Hill movie, if I'm not mistaken. I know she was in... that Finding Neverland movie and Pitch Black. She's been in a lot of things, whatever. She was in what was the Denzel movie called? Was it the one Spike Lee did? I'm looking it up right now. Man on Fire, yeah. She's in Man on Fire. Shit. That's where I remember her from recently. She was in The Darkness. She was the mother there. And she sucked there, too. But in here, she's even fucking worse because this woman does not emote at all. I'm talking about the fact that when she found out her daughter was missing and she found Sam Worthington, she's not even crying. She's not even telling him, where's my daughter? You think she would slap him or get mad and say, you lost my daughter or blah, 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 because he's blaming himself or anything like that. She doesn't do anything. Not a damn single bit of action at all from this woman. She seems just fine about it. She's like, well, if it had to be me or her, fuck her. I'm glad it was her that they took her after all this gorgeous white meat right here. They're not gonna rape it. But she was just, she didn't show no sign of emotion here. Even at the end of the film too, where he tells this story of he met Jesus and God and stuff like that, she just sits there in that chair and go, I believe you. I believe you. She might have been the worst thing. Well, never mind. Tim McGraw's pretty fucking awful. He was just, it's almost like the camera's like, we got Tim McGraw in here, people. So they just pause the camera on him smiling at times. He says a line or whatever, he just smiles, and the camera's like, you don't really notice it, but it's like a fucking shining aura over him or something like that. That's how cheap this movie looks. It's a fucking shining aura over around his head when he smiles. And it's like God is beaming the light on him. I can't make this shit up, people. That shit is gold. Okay. It was at this moment I was like, wow, this guy sucks ass. But I mean, he was also in The Blind Side too, so I mean, but Tim McGraw, you don't remember him, he's a Grammy Award winner, man, he's a country music superstar, you know what I'm saying, but he just, every time he popped up on screen and shit, he really just like said a line, and it was almost like he was posing for a poster for the movie or something like that, because he was never in the middle of the shot. He was always on the right-hand side, and he had this aura glowing over him, like it was snow angels or something like that. And then the background just looked like it was just foggy. You couldn't see the background. You just see them teeth smile. He's just like, how long I got to stand here and smile for? You ain't going to take the picture, huh? But he was pretty fucking awful. He was pretty terrible. The mother is... It's hard to say that she was bad as far as dialogue going to go. She really wasn't on screen that much, but she was just fucking terrible and just like, damn, woman, show some kind of emotion at least and stuff like that. Sam Worthington, as much shit as I'm going to give him, whatever, I can see he tried. I really can. It was just like, this just probably ain't your thing. And maybe if it was like some B-level action, we'd be like, all right, man, maybe I can give him a little bit of pass. But now in here, he's just like, this is more of a kind of trying to be a drama here. And it's like, you ain't known for your Dramita chops, your dramatic chops. So did I just say Dramita? What the fuck? Okay, God got me spending some damn things here. So they spend most of the movie, Sam Worthington, he's angry. He's kind of telling them off, and he's just like, I don't know why the fuck she's named Papa in here, too. Maybe that's what Jesus calls him or something like that, but he's kind of like, you know, you abandoned us, you left us, and they're spending the whole movie just speaking in riddles of how God and you need to forgive and all this good stuff here. And, you know, it's kind of I thought this movie was kind of fucked up, if you ask me, in a way, because they had a man in here, which, by the way, they don't catch this dude neither, who rapes his daughter and stuff like that. They never find this dude, at least they never say in the movie. And you see in this part here, and they want this man, like right off the cusp, to forgive a dude who seeks no justice, who has gotten no justice sent to him yet. They want him to forgive that what happened to his daughter, and he's looking at them like, you must be out your goddamn mind. So the whole key of this movie is you gotta let go of the anger because it's destroying you on the inside. Which, by the way, I've been in this position yet before, but I have lost someone, you know, fiance close to me and stuff like that. I was already an atheist beforehand, so don't think that like, oh, I was such a God-loving person or whatever, and then this incident happened. I said, I'm turning my back on you. I'm turning my and I didn't have this letter pop in my mailbox saying to come to this shack in the middle of the woods somewhere up in California. So three Iranian and Asian. God could come and talk to me about I need to let anger go and stuff like that. No. I just realized other people and I had family and I think, you know, when it just happened, you know, we just started movie spoilers, you know. And I knew at the time, I don't know if, well, she ain't hearing the movies. Lena's brother passed away some years ago. So it would have been devastating to have two people on here. I don't want to say moping because, like, that's a bad thing in there, but definitely since Lena had her issue thing with that, I didn't want to spring mine on, so I kind of carried on and knew that other people were relying on me to do what I needed to do to get stuff done and stuff like that. And here, though, he has two other kids and a wife. I'm not saying he should just forget that his little girl was taken and stuff like that, but the problem is that here, though, is he has a whole family who relies on him. I just find it to be a little bit selfish. It's a little fucked up in a way. A little bit selfish for him to just completely ignore and disregard them just because he's feeling guilty and stuff. I, if that doesn't get you better, I think that's where I'm a little bit more insulted than the fact that speaking to these three things that you don't even know that happened, which are probably God or something like that, is what motivated you to get right back off the horse. It's just like, cut the fucking bullshit out right here. Here you got a daughter who's neglecting you and everyone in her family because she needed you and you wasn't there for her because she feels the most guilty of why she got taken in the first place. He's ignoring her. Then you got the son who's just like, he don't want to talk to nobody no more, you know. He's like sneaking out, got a girlfriend and stuff like that. He's sneaking out in the middle of the night. Supposedly what they say. They never show it or anything like that. The wife, she's just, I don't know what her deal is. She's just in fucking complete abysmalness right now. She's just like not acknowledging not a goddamn thing here. So clearly this family needs him, but he's just soaking in his own misery and stuff like that. You know, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do to get over or anything like that, but you got to look at the bigger, I guess the bigger picture on the sense here is you can still have that guilt and anger and frustration in you, but you got to realize that you still have other kids too to worry about. You still have a wife. You have a family that needs you, and they need you to be at 100, not even 100%, at least 90% to chat to them, talk to them, and stuff like that. Look, there's many of times where I've been in this situation, especially after the passing, and I've had to kind of step up a little bit more. Not to say that I just let go and forgive and forgot it or anything like that. You know, there's been some nights crying in a corner, if you will, or anything like, well, not in a corner, more so like at a bar or something like that. Actually, no, that's a little more depressing, so never mind. Anyway, but then the movie does some shit, because the dialogue is just awful. I think it's probably one of the biggest problems. The dialogue is just fucking terrible. It feels like it belongs on one of those Saturday morning cartoon shows like Schoolhouse Rock or some shit like that. Like, you're just waiting for that newspaper to show up, because they keep reading the newspaper here, by the way. You're just waiting for that newspaper to show up on the step talking about, I'm just a bill, yeah.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here, I'm
kind
of
you're just waiting for the Lord to pop up and be like, oh, I'm just a God. Oh, I'm just a God. Why don't you take a good look at my hot ass bod? Just, you know, I mean, the lectures in this movie, you can literally put them in a fortune cookie and you laugh your ass off. I'm talking about, this shit can't be real, right? I mean, they say some shit in this movie where you just like, word? Okay. You want me to believe that then? Another thing too this movie has a problem with, I gotta say, Christian movies, their biggest problems now and their biggest conflict of things now, it's not making good movies. I've seen some done, I will say that. Their biggest conflict is, damn, how can we make a man walk and float on water without making this shit look green screen than a motherfucker? How? Because, damn, every time, this is the third time I've seen supposedly Jesus walking on water in one of these films, and they always look like shit. Okay? They look like shit. Like, you just look at them and just go like, damn, man, they look bad, dude. Like I'm talking about, like, this should be like the easiest effect we should have done. It's always because the background looks like it's not even there, and then you can see the water. It looks like it's fucking animated or something like that. I've seen stop motion that look more realistic than some of the shit that goes on in these religious films with the whole walking on water thing here. But then they go into more depth too in here. And I said depth when they take him to this cave. To what was it called? To meet this person, the God of Wisdom. I was like, my eyes rolled. I was like, what the fuck? The God of Wisdom? What's going on here now? I don't know if this kind of contradicts just God himself or anything like that, but he's coming up with gods from fucking, I was waiting for the sun god to come up next to me and tell him, but like, hey man, you know, if you want to keep on looking down and shit like that, I'll just vanish right now and I'll take this beautiful ass sun you got and go away. You know, I'm expecting the God of Air to show up here, the God of Wisdom, what? And she's lecturing him about, you should sit in this chair right now because, you know, apparently, since you have this guilt and stuff like that, and you judge God and for what he does, you should be the judge from now on. And you know what we'll do is you can judge which one of your kids can go to heaven and the other can go to hell. You know, you can judge that right about now. Why don't you go ahead and judge that? And he's like, no, take me instead. And then she smiles at him and she's like, you can learn to forgive if you try. And then he stands in this rainbow-lit-ass waterfall, and he just puts his hands up, and the music kicks in, and he just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. This water just piling down on him, and he's just like, ah, yes, Yeah. What was it? I forgot. Here we go. And you got this music playing over it as he's like looking up in the sky and the water. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, we can't get any. Oh dear God, there's lyrics to this song. Oh God. Anyway, what the fuck? I gotta make Christian music. This shit is just too easy for me. He's looking up in the sky and he goes back down to Jesus and he's like, ah, oh, yeah. Thank you, brother. This is exactly what I needed. He gets to see his daughter, but she couldn't see him. He's like, I needed this right here, miss. My daughter's... Okay, shut this shit off, please, whatever. It's getting on my nerves. But then, I will say it was a positive in this sequence, too, when he was talking to Jesus, Iranian Jesus here. There was a line of dialogue in here that I looked at that and I shook my goddamn head. I said, what did he just say? There's a line in here where Sam Worthington says, ain't that a little bit against your religion right there? And the Iranian Jesus looked at him and said, religion? He's like, you know, religion, like Christianity or anything like that. And he says, he's like, I don't go by religion. I go by my belief, whatever. I don't need, he said, and this is the exact lines, I don't need slaves. It's like, the world don't need that. Or I said, oh my God. You are about to get hung. Cause I'm in a theater full of old ass white people. By the way. I think I was the only black guy in this whole movie or whatever. This is an old crowd in here. And I saw this movie at, what time was it? 4:40 in the fucking evening, okay? It was a bunch of old white people in here. When he said that, I was like getting up by the door. I was like, I'm about to run the fuck out of here right now. They're going to hang his ass for saying that. You got, first of all, he's Iranian. I probably already pissed him off or whatever. Second of all, he just said, religion is damn near slavery. I almost wanted to get this movie a fucking streaming just by that. I was just like, wow. I said, if they go on that logic a little bit more, this movie might be saved, because the fact that you can question and bring those questions up in religion in a cheap-ass little film like this, whatever, I was going to stream it. A low stream it, whatever stream it. It was going to get something like that. I was like, you, for someone to say that, that was some bold shit right there. I know some people probably saying that's not that bold or whatever, but for me it is, whatever. Right? To hear of Jesus, supposedly Jesus himself, say religion is slavery, damn, took the words right out of my mouth. I was blown away by that line. I almost want to give this a low streaming just for that line. Matter of fact, you know what? Fuck. That, I'm giving two break. That line right there gets a high C. It. That was a gorgeous fucking line. I was blown away by that. But then we get to another scene where, you know, he gets back to Papa, played by Octavia Spencer, God. And she basically tells him, you know, you need to forgive, forget and stuff. And she's like, you got to forgive this man who did it. She literally takes him to where the body is of his daughter. And this shit was, I was like, God is a, he could be a motherfucker sometimes or whatever, you know, he wants you sometimes to do the hardest things that you possibly couldn't do as a human being, but then he kind of has to just shove it in your face too. He takes this man who's damn near dying, if you will, he's like beating himself up over, to see his body buried in some fucking cave somewhere with no clothes on, bloodied up and stuff, butt-ass naked, laying on some rock, pile of rocks and shit. And then she looks him right in the face and say, you need to forgive this man. What? Fuck that. I want that man dead, okay? This dude is crying and saying, she's like, so you're still the judge, huh? You still think he should be dead or whatever? I forgot. It gets a little deeper than that, but who gives a shit, to be honest, at this point? Because at this point, I was like, okay, this movie is over 2 hours long. But people, it's 2 hours, and it's the same length as Logan. The same fucking length, okay? Now, probably a little shorter, because it didn't have that Deadpool short or anything like that. It didn't have a short about God's Not Dead, part 3 coming up, whatever. Although, every time that those words came up, and they played that music in there, and they had some sappy line where someone was crying, and that music kicked in, you couldn't help but think about God's Not Dead, and my favorite band, and Cody's favorite band of all time, the Newsboys, you know. Throw your hands in the air, people. I know you feel it. I love this video, by the way, too. These people are
not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside.
You know what's funny about this video is everybody's just looking at these news articles. They're like, what's happening? What? God's dead. What? Get out of here with that shit. God damn, these dudes suck ass. Anyway, though, so it does a lot of that. And it fucking, it just drags on, too. And there's even a moment, too, where I don't know what this was, but they took him to some mountaintop or something like that. And they said, we want you to see things the way we see it. And they put their hands over his eyes. And he sees things like in some cheap-ass After Effects. Matter of fact, it looked like that scene in Get Out, too. Which, by the way, everybody, oh, that scene where they hypnotize him, it was so imaginative. Yeah, they do the same shit in this film, too. So what does that tell you? So Blumhouse has a history of doing that, and they did it in here. They made everything blue and black, but then they had, like, all the people that died in, like, different colors, looking like a goddamn Rainbow Coalition or something like that. They look like the YMCA guys, not in costume, basically. And he's like, why is that one coming towards us? He's like, I gotta go visit it. And apparently it's his father, and he gets to have a conversation with his dead father. His father's like, you are such a better father than I'll ever be. Can you ever forgive me? And they hug it out and stuff like that. So apparently that's where the root of this not being able to forgive came from or something like that. I was just like, wow, you literally just fucking shoehorned a way to tie that in, didn't you? You didn't give a shit about how to tie that in, but you found a way, I guess. He ends up crying. Then next, you know, they tell him, he's like, hey, you got two choices now. You can stay here with us, and you can see Missy, and, you know, or you can go back home because your family needs you and stuff like that. And he's like, hey, well, then he said, will Missy be okay up here? Like, nigga, she dead, okay? Damn. Will she be okay? Yes, okay? Apparently heaven is a field of kids running around in a fucking circle all goddamn day. That's what heaven is in this movie. It's a fucking field of grass, kids running around in circles all day. I can tell you this right now, if a pedophile ever gets his way into heaven, that motherfucker gonna be looking at that like, Which, by the way, he probably could get his way in heaven, because the way these movies come out, they basically say, hey, if you learn to accept your faults and believe in Christ and stuff like that, you know, there's probably a positive outlook for your future or whatever. So there's probably some pedophiles looking at that field right about now saying, oh, my Lord, the temptation is killing me. Wait, that's not funny. Why am I laughing at that? Anyway, though. So he goes back to his family. Next, you know, that truck incident he had happens again. His family finds him in the hospital, only to tell him, hey, you never made it to the shack. What are you talking about? You were in this accident and stuff. And he's like, no, I seen it. He has these, I love this shit too. I was like, so is he about to pull one family member to the side, each by each, in this one scene here, and tell them how he's there for them? And sure enough, he does do that. In typical Sam Worthington fashion, not knowing what the hell. His mouth is halfway open and shit. I just look at him like, man, you don't even believe the shit you're saying right now. So if you can't sell, I got his face still up on the screen right now in that scene where Octavius Mendez, like, blowing up on my computer right now. I'm looking at this shit like, you don't even believe what the fuck is going on in this film. So why should I believe anything that's going on here? You got acting is just awful from everyone outside of the people that play God. Octavia Spencer kills it in the scenes she's given. She's got some terrible fucking dialogue in here too, but she's such a profound actress, she makes it work. This Asian chick, Samir Matsubara, she's fine in it for the little part she's in. The guy that played Jesus, Abraham, he's actually overwhelmingly okay. This Israeli guy, I thought he was fine. I was like, you know what, maybe with some better material I could really see him shine, but in here, not so much, because, you know, the dialogue is shit. So, you know, other than that, though, this movie, man, I never felt like my time was more wasted than anything else in here. And I sat through the whole fucking film, too. When those credits rolled up and they played that music kicked in right there by Dan plus Shay, When I Pray For You or whatever and stuff. This right here, which I'm going to finish this review off with that playing in the background. I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, please. And there was people literally, when this movie ended, crying at the end of it. I was just like, oh, you manipulative motherfucker. This is the second movie I've seen this week where I heard people crying out in the fucking theater and shit. I was like, oh, God. Man, some superhero shit now. Now some religious shit. I was like, damn, hey. Whatever gets them tears flowing in, I guess, you know. Fuck realism. Let's go with the most fantasy shit I can see. Actually, funny enough, this felt more like a fantasy than Logan did, but it wasn't enough, though. Man, you know, I kind of want to give it a pass just on that line alone, but lines ain't saving movies, so this is definitely getting a fuck it from me. You know, and everybody wants to throw out their, hey, what is the, damn, she sucked ass. They just showed a clip from the movie or whatever, but, well, everybody's throwing out right now, oh my God,
Get Out is my favorite movie of the year. Logan is the best movie of the year or whatever. This is going to be the contender for the best fit. It's going to be hard to knock this off, whatever. Shut the fuck up, people. I might want to apologize to people because I want to throw this as a contender as possibly on my top 10 worst of by the time we get to the end of the year. And I can see the audience as such as the Spoiling Bastards and Cody going, the fuck is that movie? And I go like, you remember that little religious film back in March? Came out with Logan? Yeah. Sucked ass. People are like, please cut that music off, please, whatever. So, gotta drop a fucking on this film, and oof. Sam Worthless. What's that boy's name? Worthless. Yeah, I think that's it. Sam Worthless. Man, just don't ever get in a drama ever again, please. Just I can't watch this face just say lines the way he said them ever again.
Take your pain away.
Where were you when I needed you?
I never left you. I never left
this. Ain't it just like a tear to go and blow?
You want me to forgive him? I want him to hurt like he hurt me.
You want the promise of a pain-free life? Yeah. There isn't one.
You can do this. I can't. Not
on your own, you can.
This is your flying lesson.